W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Michigan State University, Monday night. When an hours-long crisis was over, three students were dead, five more were hurt, some of them critically. A short time ago, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
We're all broken by an all-too-familiar feeling. Another place that is supposed to be about community and togetherness, shattered by bullets and bloodshed.
The suspected gunman is also dead. Now to Brooklyn, New York, where the driver of a U-Haul went on a seeming rampage, mowing down pedestrians and a police officer. One person is dead. There are other people hurt. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Sources identified the driver as 62-year-old Wang Soar, who may have been living out of the truck, which had been rented in Florida. The suspect has a Nevada driver's license, and after his arrest, law enforcement sources say Soar allegedly told police, quote, "I want to die."
With more than 35,000 people dead in the Mideast in those quakes of a week ago, there's a regional disaster, especially so in civil war-stricken Syria.
For us, the most important thing is that all of the parties involved in the Syrian conflict put politics aside and focus on helping people.
Stefan Dujarric of the UN. Now, about those things shot out of the skies of North America last weekend and the Chinese balloon taken out a week before. CBS's Chanel Call.
The U.S. Senate will receive a classified briefing on the three objects the military shot down in three consecutive days. The Biden administration hasn't offered many details publicly about them, including whether or not they come from China.
Now there are two formal Republican presidential candidates, former President Donald Trump and ex-South Carolina Governor and U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. This, as CBS News confirms, ex-Vice President Pence is preparing to resist that grand jury subpoena for his testimony about Trump's push to overturn the 2020 election. Meantime, a Georgia state judge plans to release parts of a special grand jury report investigating Trump's efforts there, but only parts. CBS's Graham Cates.
The bulk of that report, which was compiled by a special purpose grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, will remain under wraps for now. Fulton County Judge Robert McBurney largely ruled against media organizations, including CBS News, who sought to make the report public.
The Atlanta area DA is weighing the possibility of criminal charges in that Georgia election investigation involving Trump and some of his allies. Chase, taking a look at business news. New government reports, government numbers just out, show inflation slowing a bit last month, but at 0.5%, the January consumer price index increase was still higher than the rate in December. Overseas financial markets have been higher, so are U.S. market futures. This is
A Progressive Voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants automatic voter registration in Wisconsin. More details of his two-year state budget proposal are coming out ahead of his budget address tomorrow night. Evers wants to connect the databases for the DMV and the Elections Commission, so when you get your driver's license or renew it, you're registered to vote. The governor is also proposing a number of other voting initiatives, even though they're not expected to become part of the final budget. Public health officials in Madison want to make State Street safer. The City County Health Department is using crime data to find out what areas need improvement. Streetlights are getting brighter, and the health department is offering awareness training so bystanders can spot trouble. In sports, the Bucks go for their 11th win in a row at home tonight against Boston. The Badgers host Michigan. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel. Just my spare tire. So Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts. Let me understand your plans. Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the hurts. Let me understand.
Yeah.
Lord, it's obvious we got a relationship. Talking to each other every night and day. Although you're superior over me, we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Past iceberg, into rhythms. Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walked.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, my next guest, Mr. Claiborne Benson, who has spent 40 years as a photographer, producer, editor, at Channel 4, cameraman at Channel 4, and has since retired and found a new way to continue telling important stories, founding and leading the Wisconsin Black Historical Society and Museum. The society, founded in 1987, focuses on preserving the history of African Americans in Wisconsin through community-centered programming and personal narratives. Over the years, it has continued to serve as a safe place for the surrounding community to learn more about their heritage and see themselves represented in American history. Benson never thought he'd be where he is, and it wasn't an easy journey. Either. From a young age, Benson knew his family was poor. One night, dinner consisted of an old coconut that had been used as a doorstopper for months. His father left when Benson was three, leaving his mom and sisters. His mother moved the children from Washington, D.C. to Chicago to Milwaukee. Finally settled more permanently in Milwaukee, a man named Henry Moore took Benson under his wing. Without the Moore family, Benson said he wouldn't have had the freedom to explore what he wanted to be. One of those things was running for high school track team. Let me introduce my guest to you again, none other than Mr. Claiborne Benson. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me.
All right, bring that microphone down a little bit to you.
Okay, sure.
You know how that works.
Yes, sir, I do. Yeah. Thank you. Is that better?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the thing is, man, you did that for 40 years. So.
Yes, sir, I did.
So let me
not put in front of myself, put in front of somebody else.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Claiborne, Black History Month, you're doing things over at your museum. And what are your thoughts where there are people now who don't want history to be told? I mean, you focus on Black history, what happened in the state. Well, what are your thoughts about people who think that we shouldn't be talking about this?
Honestly, there's some good things that have happened in the issue of history, and there's some bad things that have happened. History, it should not just be about Black history. It should be about American history.
Agreed.
And there's some good Europeans that have made a major difference in both African-American history and their own history. I mean, we wouldn't have the NAACP or the Urban League had it not been for the Jewish community and their efforts to help us to become a chartered Urban League and NAACP activities. There are many. I got a call the other day for people living along the Fox River area here, just south of Waukesha, and they have artifacts from enslaved people during the Underground Railroad. And they didn't stop in white. They didn't stop in Black homes. They stopped in white homes. White people who believed that indeed that this should not occur. Their stories need to be told too. I mean, clearly, you can't walk, come up the Fox River and look at how many church steeples that exist within eye reach, within a block, a half a block. Where do you think those run Underground Railroad activities took place? Right here in Waukesha, within eye of the Fox River itself.
And you know, Claiborne, I would venture to say that not many people in Waukesha know anything about that.
Well, that may be the case, but there are many people who do know the things that have happened, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. And people did it even at the risk of losing their own life, incarceration, destroying their family. They did it because they believed in it. And we're not talking about Black people.
Now you think about. I mean, and I was before you got here, I was having this conversation with the audience about the fact that this history of the state, and for people to try to envision people coming from the South and through the Underground Railroad and coming through Wisconsin at that time, Claiborne, even more segregated than it is now. And yet people were willing to put their lives on the line.
That's right, they did.
And put their lives on the line.
Not only their own, but their families as well.
Yeah.
They did it. I mean, right here. We're not talking about Milwaukee or some other part of the state. We're talking right here. And we're not talking, not only are we not talking about the individual families along the river and their individual houses. Certainly, they stood out. We're talking also about the many churches, the Congregational, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Lutheran churches, all took a hand in helping Underground Railroad people make their way. And Waukesha is the regional capital for that. We're not also talking about those Waukeshas and the regional Waukeshas get angry over the passage of the 1850 Great Compromise between Henry Clay and John Calhoun, who were so angry with the federal government for doing this, rebelled and broke Joshua Glover out of jail. And it's one of the things that led to the Civil War.
So let's talk about who Joshua Glover was.
Another runaway slave who makes his way from St. Louis, Missouri, settles in Racine, and eventually is captured and brought to Milwaukee County.
Let me ask you, how St. Louis, I didn't know they had slaves.
Well,
you
didn't know that there were slaves in Wisconsin. And there was. Yeah. There was slavery in Wisconsin. But there's slavery in every northern city and state in the Union. Every one of them, there's slavery.
At that time,
yes, sir.
That slavery was going on, it was in the north as well.
Yes, sir. And not only there, in the border states, is almost as many slaves in the border states. Border states would be Missouri, Kentucky, West Virginia, Rhode Island. Those are border states between the North and the South. There are just as many. And when Lincoln writes the Emancipation Proclamation ending slavery, he does not include the border states. And so how many and thousands of people that would continue to be enslaved as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation as we know it today?
So let's talk. Let's begin to talk about how the Underground Railroad came into existence, came to be, and how it wound up coming up through Wisconsin. And I know they want Canada, maybe that was the straightest shot, but how did that come to be? And because I remember reading Claiborne about many slaves stopping in Native American, were accepted by the Native Americans, and let's talk about all those things.
Well, I came up with four primary reasons why Europeans participated and became engaged in the Underground Railroad. Four of them. I don't want to tell you what they are, but I guess I have to since this is radio.
Right.
Normally I was
short.
Normally I would ask the members and the people in the audience.
Right.
What are they? But then let's go through them. One is religious reasons. Religious reasons. I mean, obviously, one that would be a conviction of a person who has religious commitments and make a decision that they don't want to do that. And the churches themselves would have a stopgap, that they would say that indeed we don't want our congregation, and if you're a member of this congregation, we insist on you not participating in the Underground Road or slavery. We insist on that. So religious reasons would be one. Political reasons would be another. The Republican Party's platform was anti-slavery. And the Whig Party wavered one way or the other, depending on where they were. Republican Party was very firm on their position. And if you wanted to be a member of the Republican Party, you clearly had to not participate in enslavement of people. Another reason would be what's called Free Soilists. The regional headquarters for the Free Soilists was in Janesville, and they would and they had national conventions. I didn't mean, and they were a kin cousin to the Democrats. Democrats were clearly pro-slavery, and the Free Soilists were anti-slavery. Not that they liked black people. It meant that they did not want to participate in slavery.
So Claiborne, if you hold that thought, man, we've got to go to a break. Our phone number is 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Claiborne Benson. He's the curator of Wisconsin Black Holocaust Museum.
No, Wisconsin Black
Historical Society. I'm sorry. Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. We'll be right back.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays. the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High of 51, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 41. Daytime highs approaching 44. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Claiborne Benson. He's the curator of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. And I'm glad he's here. And we're going to, it's Black History Month, so we're going to take a walk down the history lane of what took place here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, Claiborne, before we went to break, I was asking you about how Wisconsin wound up being the path. And I think even before that, you were pointing out that slavery wasn't just in the South. Slavery was as well in the North. So let me ask you.
Before you ask me, I finish the last one of the four objects in which I talked about that made that slavery took place.
Go back over the first three.
The first one was a Republican Party, Free Soilists, religious reasons, and then the fourth and final one, at least under Claiborne Benson's category, would be the ancestors. That slavery didn't just start in Africa and didn't just start in Wisconsin or the United States. Europe had enslavement too. And whites, Lloyds, enslaved serfs, and which were Europeans, and they passed down through their family members. We don't want no parts of slavery in our family because we endured that, and we don't want any parts. We don't want you enslaving anybody else. And so many of those Europeans remember that, and they themselves fought against enslavement.
So Claiborne, so they had white slaves.
That's right.
they didn't have black slaves.
I'm talking about in Europe.
So they didn't want to have black slaves, maybe, or they weren't.
So it wasn't a question about whether they had. There weren't any black slaves in Europe to be had. White owners or lords made the decision to have these people as slaves, and they were white, and they harvested the fields and did all of the dirty work that they didn't want to do. And so the people got sick and tired of it. They wanted to have their freedom as individuals and be treated with respect. So did black people, and they passed that down through their loved ones, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that they didn't want to. And there were truly people in Europe who made a decision to be abolitionists long before they left Europe. And they left Europe with the understanding of fighting against slavery and coming to Wisconsin, becoming abolitionists, helping people make it from one location to another location, scheduling ships that would go out, feed and clothe people making their way. And many of them came through Wisconsin, Michigan, Massachusetts, and other places. Yes, it happened in Wisconsin. Those four reasons were their motivation.
So when did slavery begin officially in this nation?
I think it always. In New York and the southern, like New Orleans and South Carolina, there's slavery. Those are deep river ports, and so they were able to bring ships in, and they brought slaves in. They didn't want to do the work, the hard labor work that was necessary to create this country. And so I'm reading a book now that talks about how they had to rotate the enslaved people because the work was so hard that they were dying off in large numbers. They're only talking about bringing 20 over this time and 40 the next time. But clearly, many of them are dying away because of making roads and clearing trees out. The work was backbreaking, and people simply died.
So you would think that if they're only bringing small amounts like that over on such a long voyage, they would lose a lot of them in coming over because of diseases and those types of things.
I don't think that was the major issue in the early point. But then when different countries took more of a leadership role in enslaving people, the numbers began to increase in large numbers, just like more and more Europeans began to come over. We're talking as early as 1619 and making our way all the way through the 16th century, then the 17th century, and then and the 18th century until slavery is outlawed in 1830. But they still came. They still came, and they still brought them, even when it was against the law. And they're in Wisconsin, and there are many forms of enslavement going on in Wisconsin. I mean, there is domestic slavery. There is working with traders fur traders, hauling trappers and guides and all of those. And then there is the lead mines in the western part of the state. They had the largest number of enslaved people. It's difficult to see that given that you see that the people here, but they had the largest number. We're not talking thousands and thousands of people, but we clearly are talking 8,000 people. And in the lead mines, we're talking at least 500 to 600 enslaved people working throughout that period of time.
So, Claiborne, I got to get you a hold on. We got to go to the break. When we come back, I'll let you go ahead and talk about the correlation between the slaves and the state of Wisconsin. Claiborne Benson, the curator of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, is my guest. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Progressive Voice from Manitowoc to Janesville, WAUK 540 AM,
always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. We now know that all of the victims of the Monday night mass shooting at Michigan State University were students. Three dead, five hurt, some critically, while others sheltered in place.
Telling each other, like, it doesn't feel real. I mean, especially because we're inside, we can't see everything. We're just listening to the police scanner and just looking at Twitter and the news. It's just unreal.
Police say the suspected gunman killed himself. The motive is unclear. Motive also unclear in New York, where a man in a U-Haul drove into people at several sites in Brooklyn.
We're just following to see if he would, like, you know, come to a stop, and he just wouldn't.
One of the hit victims has died a week after catastrophic earthquakes in southern Turkey.
We can see women and children sitting under the trees with not much else but the clothes on their backs. There's a few tents set up, but not much else. The situation is pretty desperate here.
CBS News correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
The Shah 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. We've interviewed two of the progressive state Supreme Court candidates and asked them about law schools and the choice by the two conservative candidates to attend Regent University, a school started and run by TV preacher Pat Robertson. Here's Milwaukee County Judge and Marquette Law School grad Janet Protasewicz.
I don't know why someone would choose to go there unless you have views that really align with the views that they have. And I think Pat Robertson, you know, formed that with that Christian, you know, network. The fact that the two of them went to Regent University obviously raises some red flags for me.
Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell said the choice of school matters less than what you do with it, and he's proud of his UW education.
I think my education at UW shaped me because the theme of UW is law in action, right? What does a law look like and how do you put the law in action so it can work for people?
Up North News Radio, weekday mornings, 6 to 8.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Claiborne Benson. He's the curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. And Claiborne, I'm going to get out of the way and let you take us on that trek, on that journey to where Wisconsin fits historically in what was slavery.
Yeah, sure. And slavery did exist in the state of Wisconsin. In the western part of the state, the primary and the largest number of enslaved people are lead miners. And so
lead
miners in the western part of the state. Wow. Lots of lead.
And lots of death. Lead being as poisonous as it was.
Well, they didn't view that at the time as being. Lead went on to make a number of products.
Right.
However, the lead and zinc in which was harvested in the western part of the state made bullets for the Civil War and the Vietnam War. So the bullets coming out of that was for government and military purposes, and thus it was necessary for this country. So bullets was what was manufactured out of there. And so, you know, we're talking 500 to 600 individuals in that whole region, but there's slavery going in other parts. In the northern part, there's cutting down of trees. The Bunga family is very active in cutting down trees in the northern part for lumber to be spread throughout there. But African Americans are coming up the Mississippi River because they see Wisconsin as being an abundance of economic growth. There's nothing happening in Milwaukee whatsoever. Native Americans are active. We're talking 1818 through 1840s, but the western part of the state is booming with economic growth and progress, and people are coming up the Mississippi River, and they're settling on Iowa, they're settling in Wisconsin, and they're just coming because they think opportunity exists and jobs exist. They see
Claiborne, when you say the western part of the state, I'm not, you would think, you know, right in the middle of the state would be where the growth was. Why the western part? Because of the Mississippi River?
That's one of the reasons. But the other reason is lead.
Oh. Okay.
Lead is harvesting lead out of the earth. Is making a great deal of money. Ships are coming up and putting those ships. Galena, Illinois is the regional capital for this area. And so that they're putting all of that lead onto those ships and taking them to various places for making and right. manufacturing products out of them. So lead is important. But I can't underemphasize with you that individuals are coming, both in the groups come to Pleasant Ridge community, Cheyenne Valley community, and small individual groups and families settle all throughout the western part of the state. So the western part of the state is very, very important. So this is the 1840s. The first African American city is founded by a guy by the name of Moses Stanton. It was called Stantonville. It's in the up Highway 57 on the way to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Stantonville, they named the city in his honor. But later they named it to Chilton. So when
I've heard of Chilton.
Chilton, Wisconsin, is the first African American. 1845. It is the city. So when did the state become a state? Do you know that
no,
answer?
I have no.
You don't know that answer?
No.
Okay, hold on. The state becomes a state in 1848. But in 1846, the founding fathers said, we think that African Americans should have the right to vote, at least those that are citizens. And so the whole argument before the state legislature is just should African Americans be legal citizens of the state of Wisconsin or this country. And once that was resolved, in 1846, they put it in the Constitution, and it had to be voted, and it was voted no, that African Americans should not have the right to vote. It became a state in 48 with it taken out of the Constitution. But African Americans said, hold up, stop. Along with issues related to women, because women were very significant. We're talking about the issue of women's rights now, and that's in the referendum vote of 1849 referendum vote. And there are two issues, women and their rights and banking, and the other issue is should African Americans have the right to vote? And so that they did have that big discussion. They did have a referendum vote. And the outcome was that some rights were taken away from Indian women, but more than anything, for African Americans, we lost the right to vote for the remainder of what seemed to be time. And so so we go from 1848 through the 1850s, and through the 1850s, there's marches and demonstrations all throughout Milwaukee's history. The streets in Milwaukee and other places, there's demonstrations of all sorts about whether or not African Americans should have the right. The Civil War comes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So how is it that blacks were able to vote before we were freed?
Before we were freed.
I
don't know that that's happening in Wisconsin. Now, that may be happening somewhere else.
No, I mean, we weren't freed until 1865. Right. But you were saying in 1850, 1849.
That's right.
They were arguing about whether or not blacks could vote.
Should have the right to vote, yes.
Yeah.
And that wasn't an argument. And they did a referendum vote. And the outcome of the referendum vote said we could not have the right to vote. And so that folks moved on. But there's a man by the name of Ezekiel Gillespie.
I've heard of him.
Ezekiel Gillespie founded St. Mark's Amy Church. He made the decision, along with Sherman Booth, to sue the state of Wisconsin because African Americans should have the right to vote. And so when the Supreme Court looked into it, when the judges of the Supreme Court made a decision that this is something that we want to examine, they found out the calculation of numbers from the 1849 referendum vote were calculated wrong. Now, you can call that any way you wanted to. You could call it cheating. You could call it wrong addition, whatever you want to call it, because history treats it very gently now. They're saying our ancestors didn't cheat. But the Supreme Court found that wrong was done in the 1849 outcome, and that indeed African Americans should have the right to vote. And they made a decision in 1866 that African Americans do have the right to vote in the state of Wisconsin. Significant and important, because it gave citizenship, it gave rights, it gave the individual rights of all men to have some outcome of their faith.
Claiborne, that really just blows my mind that we could talk about blacks having the right to vote in the state of Wisconsin, yet they weren't free.
Well, they were free in 1865.
Yeah.
The war is over, and the Emancipation Proclamation frees them. And we can talk about that in a minute. But I think something more important than to talk about that right at the second would be that the veterans, both white and black, had to do a vote on whether or not African Americans should have the right to vote. And we're talking black and white veterans. And there's 525 Civil War veterans from the state of Wisconsin. But there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of white veterans from the state of Wisconsin. And they had the option to vote to say, give this your full attention, Supreme Court. We want African Americans to have the right to vote. And they did. We're talking returning veterans who voted to say that African Americans should have the right. I'm talking about white veterans. I'm not talking about black veterans. So when we talk about history, we need to include white folks too, because they were truly engaged.
You know, Claiborne, this again is the reason why anytime you hear people say they want to do away with history, mm-hmm. Just the few minutes of the information that you've given us thus far really points out to people, hey, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because you didn't know it, you think about the impact of what has happened historically in the country and in the society, and you realize all of it didn't happen overnight. It was progressions mm-hmm. of what took place and how freedom came about. Mm-hmm. And civil rights.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Very much so. So while we're doing that same period that we're talking about, the emancipation is, and all of your listeners have heard about Juneteenth Day and the Emancipation Proclamation. Abraham Lincoln writes it in 1862, and he puts in effect January the 1st, 1863. But we learn about it, at least in Galveston, Texas, 1865, June 19th, 1865, when General Garrison goes down there and say that you're all free. But what they're not saying is that you were free 2.5 years earlier. And Abraham Lincoln writes it in 1862. It goes into effect January the 1st. And I'm repeating myself there because that's important to know. Many enslaved people get their freedom and go. But there are so many that still maintain their still stayed into slavery because their owners wanted them to work one or two more crops and kept the information from them.
So Claiborne, so even though the Emancipation Proclamation came into existence, was ratified, and all of those things, and there were owners who still didn't support that, still didn't agree with that.
But there are things wrong with the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay.
Historians now say that that was a good first effort.
Right.
That wasn't enough because Abraham Lincoln writes it, and he says, I'm going to go around Congress. I don't need Congress to sign off on this. He right. goes around. He makes it an executive order. Now, we know what executive orders are. It only lasts the term of that president, right. and then it expires. Does that mean we would go back to slavery? Yes, it does mean that. So it's an executive order. It does not include the northern states or even the border states. And I talked about that earlier. The border states had just as many enslaved people as the southern states. So that's still a whole population of generation would remain in slavery. And so that's something wrong with that too. If you look at it, on the first page of it, in the first paragraph, it says, all the southern states, it only applied to the southern states, and of the southern states, Virginia and Louisiana had exceptions. One quarter of the counties in each of these, Louisiana and Virginia, were exempt from the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, Lincoln's feeling was that there were troops there and that the people would automatically be free. But in truth, that wasn't guaranteed, and they are exempt from that. So Lincoln brought forth, 5 years later, brought forth the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment is the law that ends all slavery, not the Emancipation Proclamation. The 13th Amendment ends slavery completely of all people. The few Europeans that were enslaved, Native Americans that were enslaved, and the 97% Africans that were enslaved.
You just said Native Americans that were enslaved.
Yeah, there were.
I don't.
There were some.
So,
and there were some Europeans that were enslaved, too. A few, yes, they were.
And so, you know, we don't hear about Native Americans being enslaved.
You probably didn't hear that there were African Americans who enslaved African Americans, and they were.
In this country?
In the United States, yes, mostly in the South.
No, didn't. And again, we don't have to keep repeating it, but the importance of history.
And there were African Americans who fought on the side of the South in the Civil War. Yes.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. My guest is Claiborne Benson. He is the curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
Wisconsin. Slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles.
Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High of 51, southeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 41. Cloudy. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 44. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Up to be somebody who just loves to learn, and a little child grows up to be somebody who just loves to burn.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Claiborne Benson. He's the curator of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. And Claiborne, there's so much history about what transpired, you know. And, you know, you don't, unfortunately, unless you take some advanced history classes, children don't know this unless they go through this on their own and search out as you did. It's not something that is something that's passed on. Are we making a mistake with that?
Yeah, kids need to know. They won't know the details, but they should know about their own family history. And that's crucial to understand what their family went through to make it possible for them to be here. I mean, I was lucky enough to be able to trace my family history and to get to know my sisters. And I think that that's crucial to having a good foundation of understanding.
So as you're talking about Wisconsin history,
yes,
and what transpired and took place, I can't, for the life of me, the entire state of Wisconsin was inhabited by the natives. And by the natives, the Native Americans. And so when they came, when the Americans came up the Mississippi River and settled in the western part of the state. Had the Native Americans already been removed from that area, or was that, were they still populated there? And
well, they were populated all over the state.
So
even, Wisconsin, that is. Yes.
So even when the slave masters and the slaves came, they had to move out the natives, or the natives, did they coexist?
They coexisted.
Okay.
And as I explained earlier, the most populated area in the early 1820s, up to 1830s, is the western part of the state. There we have Henry Dodge, who becomes the first territorial governor. He brings from from Missouri. He's from Missouri. He brings five enslaved people with him. He promised them before he leaves Missouri that coming to the state of Wisconsin that I'm going to free you because we're going into free territory if you come with me. And they come with him, but he doesn't free them until 10 years later. 1837 was when he began to free them. And so thus, he gives them 40 acres, 20 acres, and 60 acres of land as compensation doing that.
So the slave owners had the authorization at any point in time to free the slaves?
Yeah, they do. They weren't bounded by laws like in Virginia and other places where they could not free them. They do have the power, but in some cases they're quite selfish. They needed their labor. And if you were to look in these lead mines and look how dark, dirty, and hard work that was, you would know that you would not want to be able to afford it. But there was a lot of money to be made in the lead mines. And so that Henry Dodge, he becomes the governor of the state of Wisconsin. He eventually frees his enslaved people, and he goes on to be the first United States senator representing the state of Wisconsin in that period of time. But Wisconsin also raises 525 Civil War veterans, and the 29th F Company is number one in that effort. It's a company just designed of African Americans, white officers, but primarily African American soldiers, and they're quite active and victorious in their fighting campaign. And the men, John Jefferson commands the 8th Wisconsin. He is a person of color. He is a grandson of Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings out of Virginia, John Jefferson. And he commands the 8th Wisconsin. He commands the 8th Wisconsin. He comes in as a second lieutenant and makes his way up to full-blown colonel.
This is in
1862, 63, 64, 65.
That's inconceivable.
No, not really. And he goes on. He's active in the Tennessee and the Vicksburg siege. Do you know where Grant is most active in his early victories? It's because of men like Thomas Jefferson, John Jefferson, and his and the men who follow him. He's wounded twice, and he's loved and revered by his men. But I wanted to say before we move on was that out of all the units in the state of Wisconsin, African Americans belong to every one of them, not just. So there's only 300 and so men in the 29th F Company, and there's 525 throughout the entire state. Now, they may not have been frontline fighters. They may have been doing laundromats. They may have been cooking. They may have been moving ammunition from one location to the other. But every unit had African Americans in it from all over the state of Wisconsin. And that's very significant, important.
You know, Claiborne, the depth of this history is critically important to everybody, but especially the young black children. They should, especially who don't know at all about positive
role models. Yeah, you know, the real joy, the real contribution of these men came when they got out. So we have Peter Thomas, who becomes a coroner.
So why don't we do this? Before you get into that, we've got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. Tom, I see you. We've got to go to a break. It's none other than Claiborne Benson, who is with Wisconsin Black, curator of Wisconsin Black Historical Society, and you. It's Black History Month, and we're having a Black History lesson. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.
Pacific Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.